It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We started last segment looking at Penn State's 11 January enrollees, what impact they could have. And it's always interesting to see and try to project what enrolling early might mean for them. Was it worth all the hustle of their senior years of high school, condensing that to get on campus early? And a lot of the time we frame that in terms of their ability to play as true freshmen. And I don't think that's necessarily always the best way to frame it. But there are a few guys in this class where that head start, you know, you think about showing up in most cases, what, 5 months and change earlier than, yes, than a lot of your classmates. We can see that pays off. And I think, you know, this past cycle, for example, Noah Cain showing up in January, Devin Ford showing up later in the summer. We saw the role that Cain had. And it's not to say that those roles wouldn't have unfolded the same way had they both arrived at the same time, but it didn't hurt, right?
Right.
So sticking with the running back spot, by the way, Keziah Holmes is on campus now. He is an exciting player. I think unconventional is a word that I would use to describe him, because he hasn't played that traditional, you know, take a snap, hand it off to Keziah Holmes. He's taken direct snaps a lot of the time. We've seen some exciting things in the open field. He's also, you know, listed at 5'11", about 180 pounds. So he's not the biggest guy in the world either. He's got a skill set that we think that Penn State might be able to use in some capacity. But at the same time, four guys are back from that running back depth chart. There's two guys, including Holmes and Kevon Lee, in this 2020 class. What are the odds that either of these freshmen can step into a role? And then, you know, I think with Holmes, it comes down to, if they're going to burn his red shirt, what are they going to do with him besides play a more traditional running back role?
Right.
How creative can they get with him?
So someone's moving into the slot. We just don't know who yet. Will it be, you know, are they going to keep Jahan Dotson outside? Are they going to move him into the slot permanently? Are they going to move Keziah Holmes over there? Could Kevon Lee make that role? What about, you know, Keandre Lambert? Could he maybe play in that position? It's a fascinating conversation for Phil. Phil Troutwine probably doesn't want to make those decisions. But Kirk Sciarca and Taylor Stubblefield, to see, okay, how many of these guys can we get on the field consistently? How many of them do we trust to get on the field? With some of these younger guys, you don't really know what to expect in them. As it relates to Holmes, you know, what is his best position? Called an all-purpose back, so the ranking reflects an ability to do a little bit more than just be your traditional running back. But to me, the question just becomes, you know, how much do you want to get him involved early when you know you already have a number of scholarship running backs coming back? And how can you keep everybody happy, and what balance has to be struck? Jaylon Sider certainly is not going to have an easy time figuring all this out if everybody stays, which we assume that they will.
With Holmes, there is precedent to have a guy like him end up in the wide receiver spot. There's a guy that Penn State recruited fairly hard from New Jersey, Bo Melton, who ended up being a wide receiver at Rutgers. He was in purgatory or whatever you want to call that out there.
Yeah.
Playing wide receiver for them, but he was a similar all-purpose back. I think Keziah Holmes is a more explosive player at his core than even Bo Melton was as a high school player. But Penn State wanted Bo Melton, and he could have very well ended up being a running back, but he had the skill set where you thought either position might have been possible.
Yeah.
I think Keziah Holmes, there's a number of things you think might be possible with him. If he ends up being 200 pounds and he ends up being able to take a pounding, you can use him in so many different ways. And maybe at some point in his career, he's your, you know, a every down back kind of player, but I don't really see that just yet. I think his value would be a slash and dash, get him touches in a variety of ways, get him involved 8 to 10 times per game and see what he can do, because there's a good chance he can break a big one. Jaden Dotton, we talked about him earlier. I'm not sure how ready he is, but I think you've seen some really good stuff on film from him, just his core physical attributes, you know, coming at 6'3", 170, he's going to have some work to do to improve his quickness, to get a little bit bigger, to get a little bit stronger, to polish up his routes some. There's going to be some work that needs to happen for him. Arriving early helps him in that process. Right or wrong, I'm not really putting him on the short list of guys who will burn their red shirts in 2020.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Going down the list a little bit more, Joseph Johnson, the cornerback. I'm a big fan of his game, and you can just by frame and how he approaches the game, the easy comparisons looking at Amani Oruwariye and Christian Campbell. I think Joseph Johnson arrives with similar attributes, but I think at the same time in their careers, I feel like he's a little bit better player arriving at Penn State than those other guys were. Now, Christian Campbell and Oruwariye both greatly exceeded expectations, so that's now the burden that's on Joseph Johnson, but the length, the instincts, he's got to iron out the finer points of the game, which is not uncommon for a cornerback. But you start to stack him up with you know, the cornerbacks from the 19 class, including Joey Porter Jr., who's a really long player, and they're bringing a little bit more length to this position. Now, whether they stay at cornerback or they move to safety is something that's worth watching too.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, you know, Penn State will have some decisions to make about some of these guys and where they want them to play in the future, not just, particularly Joseph, but I think we've seen them each offseason move at least one corner to safety or vice versa, so I won't be surprised if that happens again. You know, who makes that cut, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, all told, Joseph Johnson's a kid who, you know, Penn State, I believe he was committed to Virginia Tech. Penn State was able to pry him away. I think had some fears that maybe he might flip back to Virginia Tech or look to go somewhere else, but he never did. And ultimately, when you turn the tape on, he's a pretty impressive player. So I think that Penn State gets a good one there. He strikes me, Dustin, as one of those kids who is currently ranked as a 3-star, but can absolutely outplay that star ranking by the time his career is over.
I would be surprised if he didn't, if we're being honest about that. I think we've seen a lot from him. We've seen Penn State do a pretty good job with these long cornerbacks, including Joey Porter Jr., who is just scratching the surface. You got the impression last year that they really liked what he brought to the table, and has a chance to stay at cornerback and not make that move that you sort of anticipate when you see a long corner moving to safety. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking at Penn State's 2020 recruits, the early enrollees. There's 11 of them in all. We talked about a few of them earlier in the show. You can check that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Listen to everything that we do there, or you can download the Keystone Sports app. And I'll clear my throat. You can hear clear-throated Penn State football talk there at any point. Tyler Elsdon is another player that – he's in an interesting position because when you see the pictures coming out from when these guys first got to campus, he looks like he's an assistant coach, right? I mean, he's a big guy, just a built how you want him to be built linebacker. He's listed now at 6'2", 220. I'll be curious to see what they're aiming to do with his body, because you could on one hand say he's not the most naturally gifted, explosive athlete. He's not the fast twitch athlete that you are always kind of looking for. But do we want to keep him a little bit lighter to kind of keep as much of that quickness as we can get?
Right.
Or are we just going to embrace him being the neck roll throwback 80s linebacker that he can be and who sets that physical tone? And I think that Penn State's, you know, their linebacker core, they have so many blessed athletes joining that group,
yep,
including in the 2020 class with Curtis Jacobs, who picked up a 5th star from 24/7 Sports. 4 4-star linebackers in the past 3 classes. I think they need a little bit of throwback to come in there and set the tone in that room and to play that traditional middle linebacker role. Maybe he comes off the field on 3rd downs. Who knows? We'll see. But he comes in, you know, really, you know, you look at what they've made the most out of at that middle linebacker spot with Jan Johnson and Brandon Smith, the other Brandon Smith over the years. They've turned linebackers and walk-on guys into pretty good players. Elston's not a walk-on, and he is somebody who will hit you in the mouth. I think that Penn State could really use that.
I agree. If I could just get on my soapbox for a minute, how come every time Penn State has a defensive coaching staff opportunity, everyone wants LeVar Arrington to be hired? What has LeVar Arrington done as a coach to risk giving a very coveted, highly important spot on your staff to a guy who, well, apparently he has a ton of energy. We know he's worked with Under Armour All-American camps, and I guess he coached a high school team out in California, but I just wish I could wrap my mind around that whole idea of as soon as there's a defensive, you know, LeVar has to be the guy. Why? Number one, why would LeVar ever want to leave what seems to be a pretty darn good setup he has out on the West Coast to recruit and do all that stuff? And secondly, just because he was a great player, there's a lot of great players who are not great coaches. We're about to put that to the test with Taylor Stubblefield, quite frankly. So, I guess that was a good time to get that off my chest since we're talking about linebackers. But yeah, Tyler Austin is.
Listen, when it comes to talking about your feelings, there's never a bad time.
That's true.
All right, voice it. We'll talk it out.
We always do.
But LeVar Arrington is a beloved player.
He is.
And when you're a beloved player who's in the neighborhood of coaching.
Yeah.
He's college coaching adjacent. As adjacent to college coaching as you can get.
Yep.
So I get it, but I have a hard time believing it's ever going to actually happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So as it relates to Elston, he's another guy who I think is criminally underrated in this class. You know, he comes in at 6'2", 220. His film is outstanding and very fun to watch. So I would be surprised, too, if he's not a guy who doesn't make an impact before long. Now, I don't know how he could possibly do that this year. There's too many young guys in front of him. Even the same goes for Curtis Jacobs, who's going to be a five-star. I'm not sure how they're going to find time for him to get on the field. Yeah. So to think that Elston can, even though he's enrolled in January, can come in and play right away is probably a hope not worth having. But at the same time, he's someone that could certainly make an impact down the road. He is a good player, and I think if he played in a more, shall we say,
sexy program?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, the place where, you know, the rankings tend to be a little bit more meaningful, I guess, that he would be a four-star without question.
It is worth saying that we don't know what's going to happen in middle linebacker. You kind of think that Ellis Brooks is going to be the guy there. And then who's after that? Is Jesse Luketa somebody who's going to play that? He could play. I could see him playing any of the positions.
Yeah.
So we'll have to kind of figure that out. I wouldn't get your hopes up that Ellison's going to play right away. A couple works in progress worth pointing out. Bryce Mostella, 6'7", 235. There's a clear path forward here, which is going to include him gaining about 30 pounds. So him playing as a freshman, very, very, very long shot, even though he did enroll early. Same with Fatoru Mamulba, who, I mean, he looks like he could be a beast someday, but he's still pretty raw at football and needs a lot of coaching up, and now he's going to get a new position coach with Sean Spencer off to the NFL. Nick Dawkins, last but not least, certainly I love the bloodlines. You see the makings of a frame. He's going to be somebody who's got to be torn down and rebuilt, and he's got to pick up all the nuances of the position. If he plays in less than 2 years, if he plays as a redshirt freshman, that might be a surprise, but I do like his upside.
Yeah, same. I think that this is a good class because you have a nice mixture of, and just speaking from a general sense, not just the early enrollees, but you have a nice group of guys who should be able to play right away, and then another group who's going to need a little bit of time, and then some ones that, you know, you have to project a little bit. But all told, I think it's a good group from top to bottom.
A good mix. We've seen a lot of validation for maybe some Penn State recruits who were underrated, and that's the hope of this class, 27 in all. We're going to move on for now. Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions answered, coming up right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.